Don't have a quorum present yet, but we have a very tight timeline and two bills. So I think we'll have Representative Lilly present the legacy bill, and then as soon as we have a quorum, we'll officially convene the meeting. But in the interest of time, Representative Lilly, if you could go over the highlights of the bill, and then we'll take care of the motions later to adopt the division report and so on.
Sounds great, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everyone. So I'm going to discuss the legacy bill this morning with you, and it's quite a good bill, I think. So in 2008, the voters of Minnesota passed a constitutional amendment to increase the tax on themselves when they bought things, and so that this money would go to outdoor projects in the habitat, hunting and fishing area, clean water, parks and trails, and arts and cultural areas of the state of Minnesota. And so we're in our 10th year, and we had a big celebration, and this is quite similar to some of the other bills that have passed in previous years. There are some differences, but there's some great things in the bill. I'll start off with the Lessard Sam's outdoor heritage area. There's the whole entire bill's about $630 million. Lessard Sam's is $127 million of projects that are spread all over Minnesota from one end to the other, and are doing great works. One of the things that is done this year that I think is it's been done through the last couple of years, but it's increasing this year, is we've added some money for the CPL grants, which I think is kind of a neat effort. So that allows some smaller organizations to have access to funds and to do projects around the state. There's also the traditional groups that have gotten money and that are out there doing good work all over the state. And in the crowd is Mark Johnson, the director of the council, but there's many, it's a citizen council, and they come up with proposals, and I've pretty much included 100% of the projects as it was presented. So we can get into details as you want. Moving on to the clean water area of the bill, the clean water, also Lessard Sam's is every year they have projects. The clean water part of the bill is for the biennium, and the same with the other two areas, the parks and trails and the arts area. But the Lessard area is different, so it's coming, they'll be back again next year, essentially before us. But the clean water area is $261 million, and that's to protect and enhance and restore lake water and drinking water in the waters of the state of Minnesota. I always kind of argue that it was the little girl on the dock when the bill first, I don't know if you remember those TV ads way back when, but I think, you know, so many people come and take credit for passing the constitutional amendment, but I always think it was a little girl on the dock, you know, that was throwing the rock at the end of the dock and, you know, saying how important clean water is. But there's quite a bit of great projects in the clean water, and you can look at it and go through the bill, and I can certainly have questions or answer questions as they come. But there's a water council, and they propose ideas, and most of them we've included, but through the legislative process we've added and made some changes and improvements, if you will, or wrecking it according to the Clean Water Council. There's a letter in your packet, you can look at it, but I think the improvements that we've, or changes rather, that we've made in the legislative and the House side are good improvements. And I think, again, it's something that we can go to the voters at the end and say, our water is going to be more drinkable, more fishable, and swimmable. And I think that's been met by the Clean Water Council and some of the tweaks that we've done. The Parks and Trails part is $101 million, and it's basically divided around the state. So 40% is going to the DNR. And if you're familiar, they just celebrated like the anniversary of the ICANN program. That's covered by legacy dollars, and that gets people out onto the Parks and Trails system. New starters, you know, they'll teach you how to camp, they'll teach you how to kayak, they'll teach you all these things. But it's been a really successful program, and that's funded out of this 40% of the legacy, for example. And then 40% of the money goes to the metro. And it's one of the most overloved systems in the entire country, parks and trails in the metro. I think there's over 50 million users a year on those systems. And the greater Minnesota, the remaining 20% goes to greater Minnesota, and they're doing a great job as well of improving connectivity from various communities all over the state, and very successful there. And then that leaves the arts and cultural a part of the fund, and that's $140 million. And that is quite similar to bills that you've seen in the past, going to libraries, for example. Well, probably the biggest thing is going to the arts councils, and that's doing grants all over the state. Goes to some of our biggest institutions, but also reaches down to all sorts of ethnic museums and to all sorts of different things. And even I was looking in the crowd, and even to our county fairs. And we all love our county fairs, of course. And I don't know how many there are. I think there's 89 around the state, but there's some money in there for county fairs and whatnot. But I certainly could stand for questions, and I love the bill. I always what I talk about on the House floor, in the past, I've been lucky enough to talk about it, but I, this is my first time chairing, but I always say that if you can't win a campaign on some of this stuff that's in this bill, you're a pretty bad politician, because there's money in there for your libraries, there's in money in there for parks and trails, there's money in there for, you know, fixing habitat and those sort of things, and just, you know, the arts. Anyways, I obviously quite like it, but this money is spent all over the state, and I think the people that are involved have been very good stewards. But I'll definitely stand for questions, and Mr. Chair.
Okay, before we take questions, Representative Lilly, we do have a quorum present, and we do have the minutes in our packets. Representative Wilson.
Mr. Chair, I move the minutes from the April 12th meeting.
The motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. To get the bill moving, Representative Lilly, do you have a motion to adopt the committee?
Thank you,
report?
Mr. Chair. Yes, I would move that I move adoption of the Legacy Division report for House File 653.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carried. Representative Lilly, would you care to move the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 653 as amended be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us, and Representative Lilly gave us an overview of the bill a few moments ago, and we're at that point now for questions. So are there any questions to Representative Lilly? Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Lilly. As the House Democrats continue to move us in the direction of socialism, because that's what your party's doing nationally, I see a lot of it here, I have to ask my perennial question. How much land does the bill buy in terms of dollar value, in terms of acres, and then how many acres of easement does the bill take out of, essentially take land out of the hands of hardworking Minnesotans?
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to invite Mr. Johnson from Lessard Sams, because most of the land that's acquired, I think, is in the Lessard Sams portion of the bill. I respect you immensely, Representative Drazkowski, but you know, the voters did want us to preserve and protect, and sometimes that does mean purchase and put it in the hands of the public. Not everybody is wealthy as maybe the insurance agent in front of me here, but you know, not all of us can buy a lot of land and get on it. And so these are sometimes purchases that allow people to have access and get on it. And there, anyways, it's, I don't want to stir the pot, but no, I appreciate the question. Mr. Johnson,
Mr.
would you?
Johnson, did you hear the question?
Mr. Chair, Johnson, yes. Yes, I did, Mr. Question. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, the bill as it stands, from the Outdoor Heritage standpoint, or a portion of the bill, anticipates acquisition of about 4,993 acres. Now, that depends on the cost of the property and whether those properties are available at the time of acquisition, or of after appropriation, I'm sorry. That's land with pilt. Now, land without pilt, we're looking at about 5,446 acres. And that meaning those lands would then either be on the tax roll still, owned by local government, managed by county forests, or something of such. And those are, I'm sorry, the first ones was with pilt, without pilt is 5,446. From an easement standpoint, we're anticipating 7,700 acres of easement that would be acquired. The you asked the dollars that would be expended for that, and again, the anticipation is that the with pilt acres would cost about $27 million. The without pilt fee acquisition would be about $15 million, and the easement acquisition would be about $23.7
million. Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Johnson, Representative Lilly. Representative Lilly, the government already owns 25% of the state of Minnesota. I don't know how much you or others want to continue to grow government ownership in this state, but I appreciate the numbers. Mr. Johnson, you first came out with 4,900 acres, and I was ready to cheer, but because traditionally, members, just to remind you, we have since 2008 or 2009, which probably I think was the first year of this, seen where the taxpayers have bought 10,000 acres of land or more each time this bill comes forward, 10,000 acres. So Mr. Johnson or Representative Lilly, maybe Mr. Johnson, how do those purchase prices compare to the market? What we oftentimes have happening here with these is that government outbids private people on these lands. Have you done a market analysis? Tell us about that process, if you would.
Mr. Chair and Member Drazkowski, the lands that are acquired with Outdoor Heritage funds are acquired at appraised value. So they are the only way that the government would be that the lands would be purchased at a higher price than a citizen would be willing to pay is if the citizen is not willing to pay appraised value. That's just how it goes. I'm sorry, was there another part to that question?
Yeah, it was, Mr. Chair. Are there third-party organizations involved, Mr. Johnson, in buying some of this land? Do you have third-party organizations that go out and buy the land, and then the Outdoor Heritage Fund or an organization that is articulated with Outdoor Heritage Fund actually buys the land from them? Is that still happening?
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chair, Member Drazkowski, yes, we do have third-party participants. And for instance, Pheasants Forever or the Nature Conservancy, Minnesota Deer Hunters Association or others may purchase the property with an Outdoor Heritage appropriation and then transfer that to the state or to a county or to whatever end holder it would be. In some cases, with the Nature Conservancy in particular, they will at times hold some of that property in their own, with their own title, and or hold it under their own name, and then they will pay tax on that, property tax, as we go forward. Those, each of those organizations we've contacted and done that market analysis to find, or that analysis to find out what are they paying, and they are all sticking to, because they are nonprofits and because they have a set of standards to stick to, they're also purchasing the property for appraised value.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Johnson. My experience has been the Nature Conservancy and other groups will outbid people locally on these, and then they will own the land and turn around and sell it through this process. But I appreciate your comments, Mr. Johnson, on that, and those are heartening if indeed that's happening. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and basically three parts here, and people can get back to me later on the first two. I'd like to know how geographically balanced this is and how much goes in Republican House members' district, how much goes in Democrat House districts, because I don't see any much for the southeastern. I know there's a lot of statewide stuff, so that would not need to be included, but I'd like that breakdown. I don't need it right now. Like I said, as to how much is Seven County Metro, how much is outstate, and then how much is in various members' districts. I don't see anything in mine, and that's very, very rare. For me, I was wondering if I could get someone from the Historical Society to, if I could ask a couple questions.
The Historical Society present? I don't see anybody here.
Okay, that's fine. Well, maybe to the author here. You and I believe, sat on this committee when it was started. Chair Murphy was chair, and I think did a great job putting this thing together. And you were,
yes,
on that, yeah.
Yes, sir.
And so in that bill, there's provision for the Historic Society that a project was eligible in Fillmore County, and that still hasn't been done yet. And, you know, it's excuse after excuse. Are you aware of, you know, we put in there that this one project was eligible. In other words, it qualified for funding. And to this day, over 10 years later, it still hasn't been funded. Are you aware of what happened there, Mr. Chair Lilly?
Representative Lilly.
Mr. Chair and Representative Davids, I'm not aware of what happened, but we can certainly check with the Historical Society folks and see what's happened. I have heard, to kind of answer generally your other questions, this money is spent all over the state. I would hope that, for example, the Arts Council and would give you a printout of all your districts of what money spent. Example being, just yesterday there was an award given for Amper's program in radio channel out of Winona. So there, you know, that's going on. There's Parks and Trails money all over the state that's being spent. There's I'm familiar, I can't mention all the projects, but it seemed like we're doing Lessard Sam's definitely had projects in the southeast Minnesota. There was a trout stream restoration that I was aware of, or am aware of, and there was also some forest work, and there's some work on what's this home of a water skiing, Lake City. There's some money there. Anyways, I could kind of keep going.
Well, thank you,
I
Chair.
I don't have an answer to your history question.
Thank you, Chair Lillian. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I look through here, and yes, the statewide things are statewide. That's wonderful and beautiful. But I see a lot of things for the cities, the Seven County Metro, and I just don't see anything going through here. Like, you know, you got the Met Council, you got the zoo, you got this and that and the other thing, but nothing that I see for the southeast. And, you know, Lake City is not southeast. That's north for me. That's up north. So with that being said, I am really concerned about that promise that was made to my constituents back in 2009, and hasn't been fulfilled yet by the Historical Society. So you'll probably be, I'd like to visit with you about it further. There'll probably be an amendment for the House floor to one of the amendments that says, no, you really need to obey the law. You really need to do this because you haven't done it for over 10 years. And so that's quite disturbing. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, with that, Representative Lilly renews his motion that House File 653, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the General Register. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. We have the LCCMR bill up next, and...
Mr. Chair, as Representative Hansen's coming...
I didn't realize you wanted to comment, Representative Lilly.
I'm just kind of a stickler on this. I really want to thank our House researchers, Janelle Taylor, Helen Roberts, and Mary Mullen, and Brad Hagmeier. They're our nonpartisan staff, and it's quite impressive. And anyways, I just want to thank you.
Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. Representative Nelson, or Hansen, excuse me. It's early.
Scared me like that.
And you want to present the bill. The first thing we need to do is adopt the division report.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the Environment and Natural Resources Finance Division Report for House File 2032.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Representative Hansen, would you like to move the bill?
I move that House File 2032, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us. If you could give us an overview of the bill, and I would just like to mention we're in pretty good shape, but we want to probably leave to go up to the House floor 5 or 10 minutes early. You might, Representative Hansen, mention one of the reasons that we need to be there on time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We will be doing a memorial for the fallen conservation officer after we come in quickly. So that will be, and there will be a color guard from the DNR outside the chamber. So if we could move relatively quickly. House File 2032 is a product of the Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources. It provides appropriations in fiscal year 2019 and 2020 from the Environmental and Natural Resources Trust Fund. I have with me Becca Nash, who could describe the bill. I'm going to focus a bit on the changes that were made because of the bill that we passed earlier this year, changing the appropriation bonds to general obligation bonds. So that freed up, there was money that was appropriated for debt service in 2019 and in 2020. That was not expended. So I'm just going to go through the changes that we did to use that money that was going to go for debt service. In general, these changes are adding to existing appropriations that were recommended from the LCCMR, or they were for projects that were cut in the prior year. So we're adding $250K for increasing diversity in environmental careers, adding $780K for accelerating the non-game wildlife program. That's the chickadee checkoff that's on your taxes. Added $636,000 for a native bee survey in northern Minnesota. Representative Drazkowski for purchases. What we're doing with the Minnesota State Parks and State Trails is doing in-holdings or connections. So we're adding where there's a part within a park or within a trail that's been authorized but that has not been completed.
Senior Representative Hess, could you maybe, we've got the volume up as high as it will go.
Should I go?
And this is kind of a long, narrow room. Maybe if you could move the mic a little closer, that might be.
Testing. Oh. How about now? Hello? How about if I just project like this? Can you hear me?
My wife would say my best teaching voice when I was actively teaching. So maybe if you can do that, and in the meantime, we'll see what we can find out with getting the sound system a little better.
So we increased the Minnesota State Trails parks and in-holdings. So those are the properties within state parks or within trails. We increased that $1 million to $1.907 million. We increased Minnesota State Trails development by appropriating
$124K in FY19 and increasing from $5 million to $8.247 million in FY20. We increased the Britton Peak to Lutzen Mountain Bike Trail project by $50K. We increased the Birch Lake Recreation Area Campground project by $350K. We add $3.406 million for Native Prairie Bank conservation easements and landowner assistance. We add $200K to the City of Rainier to enhance and increase public access to Rainy Lake by constructing an ADA-compliant recreational parking lot, an ADA-compliant public restroom, and an AIS, Aquatic Invasive Species, boat wash station. We added $330K to the LCCMR grants management system. We eliminated $1.5 million for water infrastructure grants and allow for up to $6.5 million from the corpus of the trust to be invested into loans through the Public Facilities Authority's Clean Water Revolving Loan Fund. We extended two projects, Representative David's, the Southeastern Minnesota Subsurface Drainage Impacts on Groundwater Recharge from 2015 that was not completed, so we extended the timeline on that, and Protection of State's Confined Drinking Water Aquifers Phase 2 from 2017. So those are the changes since the bill left the LCCMR.
Okay, any discussion? Representative Duskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Hansen. Two questions. One, how much land is the government now going to occupy forever that the private citizens of Minnesota no longer can, according to this bill? And then the amount of easements as well.
Mr. Chair and Representative Draskowski, so the dollar figures that I gave you for the state parks that and trails everyone will use, I have the dollars but not the acres there. Maybe Ms. Nash can provide that.
Ms. Nash?
Mr. Chair, Representative Draskowski, in your packets, I believe you have a handout that we broke down the dollars and acres and also showed the geographic distribution around the state. So, excuse me, these are still based on the original LCCMR recommendations, but I can tell you from that vantage, the acquisition is about 555 acres for the state park inholdings in scientific and natural areas that Representative Hansen spoke to. Approximately 75 acres, that's just an estimate because the local grant program is actually granting to local units of government that are applying competitively. So that's a historical average. We're averaging about 75 acres. And then about 405 acres of easements. That's trail easements as well as conservation easements. And, of course, those are going to local units of government or nonprofits as well.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. And Representative Hansen, thank you for keeping the numbers down on some of the acquisitions compared to the past. Your comment, though, Representative Hansen, was that $7 million is going towards a revolving loan fund. So the legislature and the far-left organizations were critical of what passed last year and took them to court, sued the state of Minnesota, and the legislature capitulated. And the idea was, or the argument was, well, this money is not supposed to be used for debt service. And, you know, the projects obviously were still to protect our water, which is, and we had those arguments before. But now there's $7 million coming forward for a revolving loan fund. How do you sort that out?
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Representative Draskowski, I believe we sort that out because the prior bills and the challenges that were there were for wastewater treatment grants. And the litigation that you referenced of the five counts that were in the court case, there were two counts that dealt with grants being an improper usage of the trust fund. The reason that that was an improper usage of the trust fund is when, if you go back to the creation of the lottery and the creation of the trust fund, and former Representative Willard Munger was very clear that if we broke the seal on wastewater treatment grants, then that would eat up the whole lottery, that would be it because there's enough demand for wastewater treatment grants. So that wastewater treatment loans, which are going through the Public Facilities Authority, So that's their normal rate of loans, and that's coming out of the corpus, are constitutionally sound versus grants, because you're not, it's going out of the corpus and then back into the corpus versus a grant that's going out for wastewater treatment. And there are members that were here when those debates occurred, if you have any clarification.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hanson.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Hanson, would you care to renew your motion?
I renew my motion that House File 2032, as amended, be recommended be placed on the general register.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Thank you, Representative Hanson and Ms. Nash. We gather again tomorrow at 8 o'clock in this room. House convenes at 9, and let's hope that Health and Human Services goes a bit faster today so that we have a little longer night at home. That's your side of the aisle, folks. I understand you already have 80-some amendments filed. Oh, it's up to 114 now. So, all right, with that, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, the meeting adjourned. I say 200.